Hello and welcome back to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. Did you miss us? Been a bit of an unscheduled hiatus, but we are back. I'm still Robert Dutt, still editor ChannelBuzz.ca, and still, as always, your host for the show. Today we're joined by Stephen Nichols, Director of Solutions Engineering at Acronis, to discuss the growing opportunity and challenges around cyber insurance in the managed service provider space. We discuss the basics, like what cyber insurance is, what it covers, as well as getting into the reasons that what that insurance covers is changing, and what insurance providers are looking for from your customers, as well as diving deep into how you as an MSP can maximize the opportunity around your customer's cyber insurance, why it pays to make connections with insurance providers, and way more. We also get to the liability that MSPs face, and what you can do to reduce and manage your risk, which should probably be pretty important to you. Great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Acronis' Stephen Nichols. Stephen, thanks for joining us again. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to another interesting conversation.
And a conversation that I'm hearing a lot of at industry events, both coming from yourselves and your peers on the vendor side, as well as increasingly from MSPs themselves, around cyber insurance and basically what it means to their organization, because it is such a rapidly evolving topic. I guess to throw it open, what are you hearing from the MSPs that you're working with? What are sort of the questions and themes that they're interested in around cyber insurance and what it means to their business?
Yeah, it's interesting that as you're saying, it really does. It is both important, but it's also really kind of in flux right now. So what we're seeing is what was a fairly standard checkbox in order to qualify for insurance historically. I think the insurance industry has come around to realize that their ability to estimate the risk in cyber incidents was sorely lacking. And as a result, they've kind of swung the pendulum way over the other way. And they're now the requirements to qualify for and to get a reasonable rate on insurance have become much more broad and also specific at the same time. So there's a lot of people out there, small, medium businesses, but even MSPs, who are trying to navigate what those changes actually mean to their business. Can they and their customers qualify for insurance? Will that insurance be valid if there is an incident? Will they actually get a payout? And on top of that, also understanding exactly what does that landscape look like? How do they truly make sure that their customers or their data is protected, in a way that will satisfy both the requirements from a security point of view, but also from a cyber insurance point of view?
You touch on kind of changing requirements, especially as insurers discover that they didn't necessarily cover themselves as well as they could. And if there's one thing that certainly insurance as an industry is good at, it's figuring that out and mitigating for that. Can we drill down a little bit on what insurance providers are looking for? What are they evaluating when they're looking at, I'm talking about at the end customer level here?
Yeah. So again, historically, what they were looking for was, what processes do you have in place? What software are you using to protect? Mm-hmm. And it was just looking for checkboxes. You're doing kind of bare minimum that you are, not just leaving yourself exposed. What we're seeing now is questionnaires that are 30 pages long.
Oh, man.
They're not just asking, do you have a plan? It's what is your plan?
Right.
It's not just do you have security software in place. It's what security software are you using and how is it configured? And that really is getting to the point where, a lot of those requirements, are confusing, evolving, and they're very, very detailed. So the process even of, the other thing too, is historically, lots of people would, kind of just check the boxes and say, yes, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. Now, what we're also seeing is when a claim is submitted, the insurance companies are really doing their due diligence to make sure that not only did you say you had those things in place, but were you actually following your own process? Were you actually properly configured? Did you have things in place? The reality is, you know, similar to how maybe in the case of, you know, maybe car insurance, right? When there's a claim, they're looking at who was at fault in the accident. Was there alcohol involved? Was everyone wearing seatbelts? You know, did people, you know, all of those kind of things. They're looking similarly at cyber incidents to say, you know, did you actually have the software turned on? You know, were you using things like multi-factor authentication? You know, was it things being enforced that you said you were using? And a lot of those are just security best practices, right? Mm. And I think, you know, one of the things that helps with that is talking about kind of frameworks, right? I think we've talked about those in the past being a really good kind of guiding mechanism to be able to make sure that you're covering things at all points. I think now the insurance industries are looking at those same things. One of the examples that we've seen is historically, do you have antivirus, anti-malware in place? They're now saying, do you have an EDR? Do you have an endpoint detection and response in place? And who is monitoring that and taking action? So, you know, as we've seen the complexity of attacks evolve, we're starting to see insurance companies evolve in what they're requiring in order to make sure you're properly protected against those modern threats.
It sounds like in the past, it was something that could be kind of simple checklisted yes, no. Is there still a checklist, or is it too complex a matrix that insurance companies are looking at this point for it to be boiled down that much?
Yeah, you know, it's still a form, right? It's still something you have to fill out. But as opposed to being binary, like yes, no, it is
show your work.
You show your work, exactly. Yeah. What is your plan? How are you mitigating this? You know, one of the other questions that I've seen come up quite a bit is especially, you know, if they're a cybersecurity specialist, as far as the type of insurance that they're providing, is they want to know if the people who are protecting you, right, whether you as a company or the MSP you're working with, if they've had other incidents, how did they deal with them? Because the reality is it's no longer an if you're going to have some kind of attack. It's a matter of when, and are you properly prepared to mitigate it without it causing catastrophic damage? And that's really the thing, is if you've got a good response strategy, there may be some loss of data, there may be some credentials that are stolen, there may be, you know, infiltration into the network, but a well-planned solution using, you know, good quality software and things that all work well and speak together, you can prevent most things, and you can mitigate the ones that you can't prevent before they cause catastrophic, you know, damage and therefore cost to the insurance company.
So being that this sounds like it's very much procedural and process kind of oriented, it's in security, which is in an MSP wheelhouse, and it's a whole lot of complexity what you're describing. I'm guessing that the kinds of services that MSPs are offering around cyber insurance and managing and ensuring that you're fit for either a new policy or renewal as a client is evolving. What are you seeing MSPs do in terms of their service offerings? And also, how do you see MSPs working with cyber insurance vendors? I know we've seen a fair bit of outreach from the cyber insurance vendor side. I'm curious how that's mixing with what you're seeing kind of in your role in the middle there.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things. The MSPs that have this figured out, that have a process in place to look at renewals, they're not waiting until renewal time, right? What they're doing is they're saying, let's look now at hardening your environment. Let's look now at making sure we have things set up so that when that questionnaire comes out for renewal, we're not then trying to fix problems. So, and that goes as well with that partnership between the insurance providers, right? The insurance brokers and the MSPs, because if you can have an open dialogue, ultimately the insurance providers just want to not pay, right? That's ultimately at the end of the day, that's their goal.
Yep.
So if you're genuinely, you're not looking to trick them, you're not looking to kind of, you know, game the system. What you're just looking to understand is, you know, what are the requirements going to be on renewal? and getting out in front of that and being proactive and working with the insurance companies so that you're making progress towards that over time, as opposed to waiting until you get that, you know, that renewal notice. And, oh, by the way, you don't qualify just with what you did last year. All of these other things need to happen. So, and in some cases, the insurance companies will accept some risk if they see that you are working towards a plan. So it's not always, again, back to that binary, right? There are definitely certain thresholds that if you're not doing them, you're just not going to qualify for insurance. One of the things, for example, that we're actually seeing is hosted exchange, like on-premise exchange, that, that the customer is hosting themselves as opposed to Microsoft 365, is starting to in and itself be so much of a risk factor that in cyber insurance companies are often not renewing unless you have a plan to migrate off of the on-premise exchange. Yeah. And it's things like that, that, you know, if you get that, you get your renewal notice like a month before, that's not enough time to plan a project like that. So knowing what's going on, working with a good MSP, as an MSP, making sure you're aware of what the trends are in the cyber insurance industry means that you can then bring real value to your customers, because you can go to them together and say, hey, we're starting to see this on renewals with other customers. Let's get out in front of this, as opposed to it being a panicked project. Let's start planning for it now. Let's make sure we're enforcing MFA across the whole organization. Let's make sure that we've got the right strategies in place. Let's actually have a playbook for if we have an incident. And the thing is, it's not just about satisfying the cyber insurance requirements. It's about creating a well-protected environment, right? It's about making sure that the data, the workloads are well-protected, the staff are trained, the automation and software are in place to lighten that load on end users. And all of those things, coincidentally, are also going to make the insurance renewal easier. And it means that when you fill that form out, you know, most of them, you can say, oh, yeah, we have that. Yes, we have that. This is how we're doing it. And you're much more likely in that case for it to be a positive experience, as opposed to one that ends up being a huge challenge.
We've touched a lot on sort of the nature of the market and that, but this is maybe going back to a little 101, but I'm curious how this is evolving too. When you say cyber insurance, the first thing I think of is of course something that will essentially pay the malware or pay the ransomware basically, or get you back up and running when you get hit with that kind of attack or any kind other kind of breach. But what else is cyber insurance covering and thinking about, and how is that evolving in terms of what the offerings offer?
Yeah, so surprisingly, you know, cyber insurance, you know, a lot of people, you're right, the first thing they think of is it's going to cover the ransom, right? So that's the thing you're trying to mitigate against. And then the reality is, though, that most of the time, even if you don't have a ransom, right, even if you refuse to pay the ransom, there's quite a bit of cost, both to the MSP and to the end customer, of investigating and mitigating an incident. So if you think about, for example, you know, if insurance or law enforcement's involved, a lot of the times they're going to seize that hardware that's been infected, at least for a period of time, to do an investigation. So you can't just repurpose it. You might have a case where, you know, doing forensic backups in order to understand exactly what happened, make sure that you're actually safe, that the backups that you're using to restore from aren't already infected, being able to just to keep the business running during that, there's going to be some costs that are involved. There's a lot of time from the MSP that dedicated to that customer that's under attack or mitigating the attack. And so a lot of that cost is really what that cyber insurance should be paying for, right? It's to make sure, and again, I think of it in sort of the same way that, again, going back to car insurance, the car insurance isn't going to pay your speeding ticket that you got because you were speeding and got in an accident, but it is going to pay to get the car back on the road, pay for any damage that you might have done to somebody else's car or property. So realistically, that's really the intent of that insurance. I will tell you though that some of the threat actors, especially the savvy ones, one of the things that they're looking for when they get inside and they're doing kind of a live off the land and moving around, some of the things they're looking for, they're looking for data that they can hold hostage and threaten to release, because some, you know, that is kind of that double ransom that we're seeing. But the other thing they're looking for is they're looking for your cyber insurance policy, because the reason they're looking for it is, you know, if you've got, you know, $500,000 of insurance, then they're going to ask for $500,000 of ransom.
Yep. That makes sense.
And so, we hear about the big ones, right? We hear about like the casinos and the pipelines and the schools that get hacked. But the reality is the vast majority of the actual attacks that happen are on small and medium businesses. And the reason is they're not as well protected. And they're not asking for $10 million of ransom. They're asking for something which is some could actually be paid either by you or by the insurance.
Right.
And, which is, you know, again, even if you were to stop that attack, even if you had things in place, there's still going to be costs involved, and that the insurance company is much more likely to be paying out for, real costs that you did in order to mitigate an incident where you prevented catastrophic loss, you know, right? Extra time from an MSP, if you need to run in a cloud environment for a period of time, some of those costs, you know, where, you know, you've got maybe a $500,000 policy, but you're submitting for, you know, $6,000-$7,000 of claim, you're much more likely that that's going to be approved and paid out than if you're paying out of, you know, a $500,000 ransom, because even if you pay the ransom out, it can be weeks to decrypt the data, right? It's not like it's suddenly you just flip a switch and everything's back to normal.
All right. So you touch on kind of two things there, the cost to the MSP and the cost to the customer. Let's break those down a little bit, maybe further. Starting with, since listenership is MSPs, let's start there, I would say. What's the risk? What's the liability to me as an MSP? And other than making sure I do my best to ensure my customers don't get hit, how do I reduce and manage that that liability in case they do, despite my best efforts?
Yeah, and I think it comes down to really three things. So the first thing is having a really good cyber security policy and process that you are consistently following with all of your customers. And the reason for that is it shows that, you know, you weren't just kind of rolling the dice and hoping nothing happened, but you've actually thought about this. You have a plan. You can show that you consistently are doing the right things. Even if someone figures out a way to defeat what you were doing, having a well-documented approach that is preventative, right? Mm-hmm. This is the software we're using. This is how we validate it regularly. We make sure that all users have multi-factor authentication enabled. You know, whatever it is, you've got a really good policy that preventive, and most importantly, that you're consistently applying that policy. Second thing from an MSP, I think that's important for mitigating risk, is having an incident response plan and having one that is actually rehearsed with the customer. Because again, it's about early mitigation and it's about preventing catastrophic loss. So the vast majority of attacks can be detected and prevented through configuration and software and best practices. But it only takes is one person to get fooled by a phishing email and provide credentials on a website. And now we get into an incident where it's going to be a little more complicated to mitigate. But if you have, you know, similar to the fact that, you know, if a building's on fire, it's not the time to figure out how you're going to get people out, right?
Right.
You do fire drills, and you want to do the same thing with the cybersecurity incident. How are you going to communicate? How are you going to continue operating the business, but still isolating the risk? So I think having both a plan, and more importantly, actually testing and rehearsing in that plan, so that if there are any areas that need to be approved, you know, changed, improved, You know, you have the opportunity to do that when you're not in crisis mode. And then I think the third thing as far as liability is, as an MSP, you have to make sure that you have clearly communicated the risk and the importance of that to your client. And that comes down to, I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, oh, well, this client didn't want to pay the extra, so I made sure that I documented in an email. So the question is, if, you know, 3 years ago you had a conversation with them and you got an email, and they said, no, we don't want to spend that money. Is that, you know, and you got it in email. Is that enough to protect you from liability 3 years later? Probably not. So it's about having regular communication of the risk. It's about making sure that they are making an informed decision. I've certainly talked to some MSPs who are raising the bar on their minimum stack from a security point of view, just saying, listen, it's too much of a risk for me as the MSP if you aren't willing to at least come to this level of security. And if you're not, then perhaps you'd be better served by somebody else, almost like firing your customer. And it's such a difficult decision for a lot of MSPs to make. But the risk that you're carrying around, if you've got people who are, you know, especially things like multi-factor authentication, especially things like, I don't want to pay for, you know, the good security solution. I just want the cheapest thing I can get. I want to check a box. So I think if, you know, you've got to think about your own risk, and you've got to make sure that if they are making that decision and you are going to keep them as a customer, you have it very well documented that every time you meet with them, you're talking about the importance of proper security protocols and that they are actively opting out of participating in those.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you about if you see it as something that MSPs are using to do the proverbial upsell from their silver to gold to platinum kind of tier of services. But it sounds like that you're saying these are things that need to be baked in at the you must be this tall to be a customer kind of level.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly there are you know, varying degrees of service that can come along with that. So one of the things, you know, when you talk about kind of the good, better, best model, right, that bronze, silver, gold, whatever you want to call it, we're seeing, you know, people on those higher end wrapping things like we will do, you know, multiple security incident kind of validation plans with you on the higher levels, where maybe the lower level, that would be an additional cost when they're looking at if you actually have a security incident. They might bundle in a certain amount of response hours into those higher plans. So it's no longer about the base level of protection between those plans. It's more about the potential other costs that you might have if you have an incident now being baked into that. And particularly, you know, customers who have opted out of a solution, one of the things it's not, I was talking to an MSP actually a while ago, who's out West, and what they've actually done is they, put together a document that said, this is what our recommended security, stack is. If you opt out of that, here is what the minimum cost for us to investigate and remediate an incident. And it's $10,000. So basically, for us to walk in the door, if you have a security incident, if you're not willing to follow our recommendations, it's $10,000 upfront for us to come in and investigate as a retainer, because and it's a disincentive price. It's the listen, you're either going to pay upfront at a slightly higher monthly cost, or you're going to pay a whole bunch when something happens.
All right. And getting back to the customer side of things, a lot of what you've said obviously would cover the kind of best practices for making sure your clients get the best possible premiums in terms of having the documentation in place and having the right security solutions in place, et cetera, et cetera. But what else should an MSP be thinking about in terms of ways to make cyber insurance as affordable a product as possible for their customers?
Yeah, I think mostly it's about again having a well-documented plan and being able to say these are the things that we as an MSP are doing, and doing that proactively. So not necessarily even just what's on the list from the insurance company, but being able to say here's our comprehensive approach to security and risk mitigation. And because honestly, at the end of the day, the price that you're paying for insurance is an actuarial cost, right? They are looking at what is your risk. So the more you can do to show that you are a lower risk, the more likely you are to get a lower rate. It's kind of like, a lot of the insurance companies will, look at your driving history. And if you've got a really good driving history, you might be eligible for some discounts. It's the same sort of thing in this case to say, we're not just checking your boxes that you're asked us to. Here's how we've gone beyond that. And a lot of times, if you have that conversation with the insurance companies, not at renewal time, but in advance, hey, what else can we do to help bring our rates down? There is things that can be done, but it's very specific to each insurance provider as to, what exactly they'll do and how much discount they can provide. I know we've talked to a couple of insurance providers who, if you're using particular software, that they know that software, they've evaluated themselves, they know that it works, and they might. So it's not about, hey, do you have some kind of solution? But if you have this one of these solutions, then we'll give you an extra 5 or 10% off of what your rate is.
I know every customer isn't going to go with it for whatever reasons they might have existing relationships slash policies or whatever, but it sounds like based especially on that you're describing and sort of the fact that ultimately it's going to fall on the MSP to manage a lot of this anyway, it sounds like it would behoove MSPs to get in close with one or two cyber insurance providers, really get to know them, really understand what they value, and sort of bring that to customers as quote unquote their guy.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there, end customers, who are all they're doing in a lot of cases is just going to the place where they're getting, their error and omissions insurance or their business insurance, right? They're not going to someone who specializes in cyber insurance. And in some cases, those same insurance brokers actually have pretty comprehensive policies that are fairly reasonable and fair because they understand the risks in the market. What we're seeing is more of a trend. Some of those other places that don't specialize in cybersecurity are actually getting out of it because they're not able to qualify the risk properly, or they're just going so hard the other way to say, the requirement to qualify for insurance, we're just going to raise the bar so high that we feel that we're protected. And I think if, as an MSP, if you can find some insurance providers that are reasonable and fair and that understand how you bring value to that overall supply chain and that whole process, it gives alternatives for you to present to your customer. And in a lot of cases, if particularly if their current provider goes, yeah, we're not writing insurance policies anymore upon renewal, or you don't qualify because you don't meet this really high standard, having something as an MSP in your back pocket to say, yep, we don't sell this, but we work with them. Here's some contact information, and we know that we can get you to the standard required for what they're looking for because we understand it. We've got the right stack. We can get, it'll take us 2 months to get there. Kind of thing.
And finally, throw a little bit of a wild card here into it, and that's kind of the nature of security itself. If there's one descriptor that's attached to security most frequently, it's probably ever changing because it is. And if you close one door, another opens, and all that kind of good stuff. How do I, as an MSP, I obviously can't predict the future. If you could. I mean, if you can, great, please do have at it. But assuming that you don't have that particular brand of clairvoyance, how do you prepare, stay on top of things, or prepare to basically, how do you set things up for those Rumsfeldian unknown unknowns that are going to come in the security sphere and are going to impact both what cyber insurance providers are expecting and how much they're costing.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, it is an ever-changing world. So I think there's a couple pieces. One is staying in touch with the industry, right? So making sure that you're paying attention to, you know, and talking to your peers, right? Other MSPs. There's lots of business out there to the point where it's not really a deeply competitive landscape. It's far more valuable to trade stories, be open, talk about it. And it's absolutely true of security in general. I would say definitely, you know, have good relationships with vendors who are in the security space. You know, places like Acronis. I know Microsoft's made some huge investments in cybersecurity. There's a number of other vendors out there who have made it their business and have units within the company to understand not just what's going on today, but where they see trends going. And the other thing is, you know, I keep harping on this, but I think it's really important is frameworks. And that is that it's not about, you know, a specific tool or like a silver bullet, but it's more about having comprehensive policies, having looking at left a boom, right a boom, looking at the NIST cybersecurity framework, where you're looking at all of the different stages that are in there, because like you said, it's, you know, it's kind of like that, the, you know, you plug one hole in the dike and another one starts to leak. Mm-hmm. By having a framework, that's more of a, you know, a broader approach to security. And the other thing that I think is super important is to always have the mentality that you are preparing and doing everything you can to prevent, but assume that someone is going to get through that and have plans as to how you mitigate in real time an actual incident when it happens, right? Don't assume that you've everything's perfect and we're totally prepared and now I can sit back and relax. It's you need to be assuming that someone is going to figure out a way to defeat that and be ready to respond to that.
All right. Sage advice. And dear listener, if you want more on frameworks, I happen to know that we might just have done a podcast not too long ago on that exact topic. So go deep dive into that if you have not already, please. Stephen, we covered a lot of territory there. Appreciate your insight and wisdom. And I hope we get a chance to chat again soon.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure as always. And hopefully we get a chance, like you said, to chat again about another interesting topic.
There you have it, a look at the realities of the cyber insurance marketplace in 2024. I'd like to thank Steve for joining us, thank Acronis for their ongoing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening. I know we just had a bit of a layoff, and that's on me, but I'm here to tell you that we'll be right back here next week as we take a look at another aspect of security, this time virtual private networks, with friend of the show, Tony Anscombe of ESET. Between now and then, please do make sure you're subscribed to the show so that you get it when it comes out. And if your podcast app lets you do so, a rating and a review would be greatly appreciated and would help other solution providers find the show. Until next week, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.